Welcome to your turn, Mike Causey. Delighted to have you here, as we're here every Wednesday at 10 a.m., and we appreciate your input and glad you're there. And tell a friend that we're on right now. Going to have an interesting show today. My first guest is Steve Bauer. He is Executive Director of FEA, and that stands for Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund, and it is a federal workers helping federal workers charity. And then later on in the show, Stephen Losey, senior writer with the Federal Times, is going to bring us up to speed on the Defense Department furloughs, the backlog at the OPM, and a number of other items. So it should be a very good show. And going first to Colorado and Steve Bauer. Steve, are you with us?
I sure am. Good morning, Mike.
Morning. Thank you for being there. As a not-so-funny thing happened when we, by the time we talked about this show, and then the Oklahoma tornadoes came about.
Yes, we were talking about how we were gearing up for furloughs and how federal employees will need help, and then suddenly Mother Nature decided to intervene and distract our attention to something more immediate and more important. A tornado took a similar path in 1999 and hit Moore, Oklahoma. Went back to our records and found out that we helped 62 federal employees back in 1999, and this storm was a lot worse. And those employees had either their home destroyed or had significant damage to their home.
Yeah, this one that we had this week was a 200-plus mile-an-hour winds, and apparently the one in 99 was 300-mile-an-hour winds. I didn't know there was such a thing.
I'm not sure it matters much between 200, 300.
Well, that's true. Yeah, a house is out. Well, Steve, you've been in your career as executive director of FEA. You've been in some pretty awful situations. I know you've been in Florida for numerous hurricanes. You've been up and down the coast. Did you have any involvement with the hurricane that hit us here on the East Coast, Sandy?
Yeah, we had some damage all the way from Virginia up to Massachusetts and helped people. I happened to be in Boston when that hurricane hit at a Blacks in Government conference. So I was in the middle of it. Thankfully, it wasn't nearly as destructive as many other hurricanes and tornadoes have been over the years, but we've helped people in all 50 states as well as overseas. I think the fact that federal employees are affected every time there's a natural disaster kind of reminds us that federal employees are everywhere. They're the person that delivers your mail, helps your mom with her Social Security problem, protects us through the FBI and other Department of Justice agencies. Federal employees are, mainstream America from coast to coast and all around the world.
Well, I was looking at the map yesterday of the path of the tornado in Oklahoma, and although Oklahoma is a fairly sparsely populated state, it has about 80,000 federal workers, and it's significant operations are there. The Postal Service has a major operation. The Federal Aviation Administration has a major operation in and around Oklahoma City and Norman, and sort of right in that path of Moore, the city that got hit by it. And three out of four federal workers in the state of Oklahoma are with the Defense Department, but it's a very diverse group of people. And as you said, they're scattered all over the place. No pun intended here.
Oh, absolutely. Tinker Air Force Base maintains aircraft. I've been out there. And the FAA trains all of their air traffic controllers right near the airport there, the Will Rogers Airport. So over half of the people that were affected in 1999 were FAA employees because it's a convenient location for them, both to the airport and to the training center. So yesterday I already got a call from an FAA employee who lost their home. Thankfully, they were okay. Another one who had significant hail damage and wind damage to their home. The numbers will pick up as people pick themselves up and try to get their lives back together. I anticipate we'll be helping a ton of people, and if need be, I'll head out that way. Since the Murrah bombing in 1995, I've been out there many, many, many times. Know the city like the back of my hand.
Well, that's another. Let's talk about the ultimate tragedy. 1995. And the hundreds of federal workers were killed, and FEA at that time, with some help from corporate sponsors, pledged that all of the children who lost a parent in the bombing, correct me if I'm wrong, including one who was not yet born, but that all of those kids could get a full ride scholarship to any school they could get into. And you put in, what, 190 so far?
192 now, and just a handful left to go. When we made that promise, we had no idea that we were talking about 200 children. But, you know, one of the most gratifying things in my career here is getting to see that program to fruition. It's been an amazing thing. The kids are very grateful that they're remembered, that their parents are remembered. You know, they just went to work one day in service of America and never came home.
Now, I remember you telling me that a number of those, referred to as kids, they're young adults now, but a number of those people went into healing professions and service jobs with the government or with the state.
Yeah, I think it reflects well on their parents and the way they were brought up. You know, they're not going for MBAs. They're nurses. They're special education teachers. They're physical therapists. It's just been very gratifying to see the career paths that these kids have chosen.
Well, and Fia, you also had a hand with the in this similar situation at the Pentagon, the 9/11 attacks on the Pentagon. You had some children involved there, didn't you?
Absolutely. The majority of the people that died in the Pentagon on 9/11 were civilian federal employees. There were some soldiers and sailors lost, no airmen. But again, the majority were civilian federal employees, and their kids are getting full-ride scholarships. That program's, it's hard to believe, it's 12 years old already, and we've put a number of kids through school and have about a dozen to go, and we'll fulfill that promise as well.
Now, what can you actually do for people? Here's the situation. Oklahoma City is one thing. The tornadoes, the hurricanes in Florida, and then we've got the furloughs, which have happened for some feds and are coming up this week for other federal employees. What can you do for people?
Well, we have our emergency assistance program, and people who need help can go to FEA.org, F-E-E-A.org, and right on the homepage is Get Help Now, and that'll take them to the application for emergency assistance. We have two basic programs outside of things like Oklahoma City and the Pentagon. One is grants, and those are made primarily for natural disasters. So we can give money not expected back from federal employees who've had damage to their homes or totally lost their homes in Oklahoma. In fact, yesterday we sent a check to somebody, and again, showing how feds are everywhere, in West Texas. If you remember the fertilizer plant that blew up,
oh, yeah.
A VA employee lost their home. You know, feds live everywhere. They're in your neighborhood, if you will. And the other thing that we do, and this will apply to furloughs and other emergency situations, and federal employees, like any other members of society, have emergencies all the time. It can be a spouse ran off and emptied out the bank account, a car accident with an uninsured driver, an unexpected death in the family. We can make no-interest loans to federal employees. We've already made some for employees that have been furloughed from the FAA and from the EPA. And this Friday, all of IRS will be furloughed, and DOD is not far behind. So we're talking about almost a million people getting a 20% cut in their paycheck. And while a lot of people will be able to handle that and have planned for it, there are others that have had other emergencies arise, untoward circumstances. Spouse lost their job recently.
Steve, let me ask you about that. We need to take a short break here on Federal News Radio, federalnewsradio.com. We'll be right back.
For over a century, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington has served the youth in our nation's capital. The club's new STEAM initiative uses the arts to teach science, technology, engineering, and math. Today, more than ever, we need your support of STEAM. It will encourage our youth to think rather than memorize, create rather than copy, and to be resourceful rather than reserved. So visit boysandgirlsclubs.org. Send a dollar or more as an investment to help us help our kids pick up STEAM. Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, great futures start here.
This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio. Kick off summer at the Safeway Barbecue Battle June 22nd and 23rd to benefit the Boys and Girls Clubs. 30 bands on three stages, including the Wailers and Roy Ayers on the Pepsi Next Lay soundstage, and Kristen and the Noise and EU on the Famous Dave's music stage. Free food in Safeway's Sampling Pavilion, the National Pork Barbecue Championship, Rancher's Reserve Beef Contest, Purdue's Sizzlin' Chicken Contest, plus NBA Nation and lots more. Easy to get to by metro. Visit bbqdc.com.
Vizeta, the newest name in federal IT outsourcing, from colo to cloud. Outsourcing elements of your agency's IT infrastructure has the potential to be a major game changer for efficiency and responsiveness. Vizeta is the small business partner with a high-touch model to help you migrate colo to cloud and ultimately achieve the new model of IT consumption, CapEx to OpEx. Visit us at VAZATAFederal.com.
The American Veterans Center presents the 9th Annual National Memorial Day Parade Monday, May 27th at 2 p.m. along Constitution Avenue, with a special salute to military families led by honorary Grand Marshals, Army vets Robert Griffin Jr., Jacqueline Griffin, and hometown quarterback Robert Griffin III. Joining Grand Marshal J.R. Martinez, Gary Sinise, Trace Atkins, Taylor Hicks, and Miss America 2013. Presented by the American Veterans Center with support from VisitMyrtleBeach.com, Military Order of the Purple Heart Service Foundation, and Wells Fargo. Visit NationalMemorialDayParade.com.
Do you work in one of the influential industries that make up Washington's workforce? Looking for more than a job? Looking for a career move? Then start your search at powerjobs.com. PowerJobs features senior-level positions in Washington's leading industries, including healthcare, technology, defense, hospitality, government, and nonprofit. At PowerJobs, the mission is to connect the area's top talent to leading employers like Futrend Technology Incorporated, Americans for the Arts, AARP, and Aquilent. Jobs featured on PowerJobs.com this week include Media Specialist, Airline Pilots Association, Senior Director Government Relations, Kimberly Clark, and VP Government Affairs, Quest Diagnostics. What are you waiting for? Tap into the power of PowerJobs. Start your career search at PowerJobs.com today. Finally, a career site made for you. PowerJobs.com.
Are you a loyal credit card user and your only reward is a high interest rate? Anyone can join State Department Federal Credit Union and take advantage of their Visa Platinum credit card. Just a 6.99% APR, plus earn one reward point for every dollar you spend. And there is no foreign transaction or balance transfer fees. Visit sdfcu.org. Annual percentage rate is based on evaluation of applicants' credit. SDFCU is federally insured by the NCUA.
The Federal News Radio United Way Community Spotlight is DC CAP. Did you know that since 1999, DC CAP has worked to double the number of district students who enroll in college and triple the number who graduate? Join DC CAP in its mission to give every DC public and public charter high school student a chance at a college education. Support DC CAP in assisting more DC students today. For more info, visit federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio charities are fed by Papa John's.
Mike Causey here. Welcome back to Your Turn. I'm talking with Steve Bauer. He's Executive Director of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. And then later on in the show, we're going to talk with Stephen Losey from the Federal Times about defense furloughs and a variety of other things that are coming up. Steve Bauer, when I interrupted you, you were talking about bracing for a million people who are going to be furloughed, and the fact that for some it will be this weekend, the IRS and other agencies that are going to be furloughing and shutting down on Friday. It'll be a long Memorial Day weekend for many of them. For others, it'll be a disastrous one because that 20% pay cut, they just can't handle it.
Absolutely. It's a lot of federal employees, like a lot of Americans, live from paycheck to paycheck. And the slightest disruption in either their income stream or a sudden extraordinary expense can really put them over the edge. And they may have trouble paying their rent. And if they can't pay their rent on time, they get a late fee. Or they may have automatic deductions coming out of their check, and there's not enough to cover them. So a check bounces, and they get bank fees. And it can just really spiral out of control for people. So we're here to help with that when people need basic necessities. We're talking about rent. We're talking about mortgage payment. We're talking about a utility payment to keep the lights on. We're not talking about having 200 channels of cable.
Yeah.
You know, and people need help like that all the time.
Well, if I'm an IRS worker, and they're going to shut down Friday this coming or the day after tomorrow, so I'll be furloughed for one day. What do I do to FIA to get the process rolling?
Well, normally we have people wait until an event actually occurs. Mm-hmm. While the furlough may be Friday, their paycheck will not be short until I think the Tuesday, a week ahead, Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So once they get that paycheck and it shows a reduction in their pay, if they have a problem, they can apply for emergency loan at FIA.org, get help now, and send in an application. And we can, again, we don't send them a check to a personal check to their name to replace their pay, but we will help them by paying, for example, their rent or paying their utility bills so they don't fall behind or they don't have any heat or lights. So that's the type of thing that we can do for them. And then they pay us back through payroll deductions. Federal employees are proud folk, and they love the fact that if they get a no-interest loan, when they're paying us back, that money goes back into the emergency assistance fund to help other people.
And I'll bet a lot of those people become believers and donate to FIA, too.
We have a great donor base. It's increasing all the time, and it's not a coincidence that in May we run our special campaign, which is a matching funds campaign. While a lot of foundations, corporations really don't think that federal employees ever would need help because they're overpaid and underworked.
Absolutely.
There are some corporations that deal with federal employees all the time, like GEICO, which was started by government employees, like Blue Cross Blue Shield Federal Employee Program, which insures provides health insurance for over 2 million federal employees and retirees, like long-term care partners who provides long-term care insurance for federal employees and their families. They have all ponied up in May and said, when an employee makes a donation, each one of them will match those donations. So people that contribute $100 right now, FIA is going to receive $400. So it's a wonderful opportunity for people to donate during the month of May, and they do that again online at FIA.org, and they just hit donate now. Of course, they can send checks in to us as well, but people are beginning to donate in fairly large numbers, and we still need about $10,000 by the end of the month to get all those matching funds from these corporations.
So the event has to take place, the furlough has to take place, then the employee has to wait and get their check, which will be short by 20%, and then they make application to FIA and say, this is how much I lost or how much I didn't get paid, and this is my bill for Pepco or Ace Finance or something.
Exactly right, Mike. You know, in many cases for employees, you know, with IRS looking at 5 furlough days, and I'll be interesting to hear what Steve Losey says about DOD, but they're looking at maybe 11 short paychecks. That event where they need the money may not occur until the fourth time they're furloughed.
Yeah.
And now they've had, 4 days without pay. Or for DOD folks, it might be the 10th time they get a short check. You know, a lot of them will be able to squeak by for a couple short paychecks. And eventually, though, they're going to run out of Peter and Paul to borrow from, and they're going to have to come to FIA, and we'll be there to help them.
If I get furloughed, say I'm a Defense Department employee, and I'm furloughed one day every other week for now we're looking at 11 days, that would be 22 weeks. Could I wait until midway in the event and say, look, I've been furloughed a total of 3 days, 20%, 20%, 20%. Could I apply to FIA for that amount of money at that time, or do you need to do it with each event?
No, it better to wait. In other words, let's say a DOD employee has now had 5 short paychecks. They've lost a week pay.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty significant when you add it all up. It's death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah.
And if at that point, now they're at a point where they've lost a full week of pay, which is a significant amount of money, and they really can't pay their rent, that would be the time to come to us. We turn around our applications very fast, so we should be able to help people within a couple days of application if they submit all the documentation. So, yes, it's better not to, you know, we don't want people saying, gee, I'm going to be furloughed 22 days, mm-hmm. which is what
give me the money.
Was
yeah.
saying originally, yeah. give me the money now, okay?
Yeah.
It's, you know, you do what you can do personally, and when you're out of options, that's when you come to FEA.
So, and the EPA and FAA for sure have been furloughed, and then some agriculture department employees were furloughed. Have any of them actually gotten checks from you yet?
Yes, absolutely. EPA, yeah, both EPA and FAA. Thankfully, the FAA furloughs are over. That was a short-lived event. But people were not made whole, and that's not happening as it has happened in the past and when folks have not been paid. So if you've been, you know, FAA furlough lasted less than 2 weeks, but people that had a furlough day, they didn't get that made up. So we only had one FAA employee who that was enough to put them over the edge, and they needed help. EPA folks, HUD has been had some furloughs as well. We have not had any HUD employees that we needed to help.
All right. Steve, take a short break here, and we'll come back. I want to get some idea of the volume of the help you've given people. We'll be right back here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Here's Ray Brow, Division Chief for Enterprise Server Operations Centers, U.S. Department of State, on the Federal Executive Forum on Virtualization and Data Center Consolidation, sponsored by Informatica.
Network security, perimeter security is a high priority issue for us, and it's an important issue because as we grow in our capacity to offer citizen services and diplomacy throughout the world, that network, external network access is growing.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Hi, this is Bill Sullivan with Informatica Public Sector. By focusing on the data and data center consolidation, Informatica customers continually avoid costs with a comprehensive view of how their current data and applications support operations. This helps them minimize costs, identify redundant applications, and eliminate excess hardware. Over 5,000 enterprises rely on Informatica to leverage their IT assets efficiently. Learn more. Visit Informatica.com today. That's Informatica.com.
Mom, I had the best dream.
Well, good morning to you, too.
Okay, so I was a knight. I had a sword. And our house was a castle. It was this angry dragon. It was kind of scary.
Oh, yeah?
But I protected the castle.
Oh, that's my brave little man. I'm glad our castle is safe.
Your home is your castle, and sometimes you need help defending it. The National Association of Realtors supports maintaining homeowner tax incentives because they make home ownership more affordable for more families. Learn more at houselogic.com.
Paid for by the National Association of Realtors.
MilitaryByOwner.com. When duty calls, they can help.
When my husband got orders to PCS to Jacksonville, we only had 2 months to sell our home near Quantico and find housing near our new base. We were overwhelmed. Now, make that panic. I'm happy to report we've checked into our new duty station, our daughter is enrolled in school, and we're settled into the perfect home that we found on MilitaryByOwner.com.
Military by Owner. Find, sell, or rent housing near any U.S. military base. Homes advertised by homeowners and real estate agents.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM every Friday morning at 11 o'clock. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to FedTalk@FederalNewsRadio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week on Fed Talk, host Deborah Roth will be joined by John Adler, president of the Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association, for a legislative update.
In times of joy, in moments of grief, broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
When faced with opportunities and challenges, it's important to have a reliable information technology partner on your side. Make a confident choice with GovConnection. Our extensive experience serving the federal marketplace ensures we can identify and apply the right purchasing vehicles to equip your organization with the right tools to accomplish your mission. The IT marketplace is full of companies who claim to be different. Choose GovConnection and we'll prove it to you. Call GovConnection today at 800-800-0019. That's 800-800-0019.
Sponsored by Samsung.
A soon-to-be-released test aims to sharpen the accuracy of cancer drugs. Many cancer chemotherapies cause side effects like hair loss because the drugs simply attack rapidly multiplying cells. But Glenn Hoke, CEO of Rockville-based Theranostics Health, says they're about to launch a new test that could help change treatment.
From carpet bombing tumors with a broad spectrum, just kill proliferation, to more targeted therapies that go after very specific proteins
that are part of abnormal biochemical reaction pathways causing cells to overmultiply or refuse to die. Using a biopsy sample, they've engineered a process that's
able to tell the doctor that, in fact, this pathway is on, this drug target is active, and if you give the drug, it should have some therapeutic benefit.
Hoke says it could point to a perfect multi-drug combo and save the expense of using medicines that won't work at all. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey here, and I'm talking with Steve Bauer. He's Executive Director of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. And Steve, you said that if people want to know more about it or make an application for a no-interest loan, they go to FEA, FEEA.org, and then click the Get Help Now button. And what needs to have happened, and correct me if I'm wrong, is once they've been furloughed and the check shows up minus the 20% they would have gotten that week, that's when they start the application process.
That is correct. People applying now, as we know, a number of people who were threatened with furloughs never even got furloughed.
That's right.
So we don't take applications from people before the event has happened. But we can turn around applications very quickly and get people the help they need once their paycheck is short or something else happens, as it does every day to federal employees. It doesn't have to be a furlough.
Right. And the reason this is so important this time around is when you have a government shutdown, in the first place, the few that we've had, people were usually made whole later on. But also, they could apply for unemployment benefits depending on their state's rules. But in this case, one day every 2 weeks is not going to hack it, and most people wouldn't be able to apply for unemployment.
Exactly, and it's a little hard to find another job for
one day a week,
other week.
Yeah,
so these folks are going to be harmed.
Not a good way to run a track record. Listen, we know about Oklahoma City. We know about the Pentagon, the scholarships that FEA pledged and has honored for these 190-plus young kids and young people who are now, many of them have graduated and went to some fine schools. What's your sort of overall track record for FEA the years?
We've been around a quarter of a century, and kind of proud of the totals that we have been able to administer during that time. Overall, we have helped thousands and thousands and thousands of federal employees. We've provided over $11 million in scholarships, over $9 million in emergency financial assistance to federal employees. And we need to keep in mind, because you and I are from the same school of thought, why we do this. Federal employees, civilian federal employees, in many ways are the backbone of America. When we think about, as we all do, that we live in the greatest country, it doesn't matter whether a Republican or a Democrat is in charge of Congress or the House or the Senate or the White House. We keep marching along, and that's because we have our civilian federal employees providing vital services around the country every single day.
Well, and it's the public employee thing, too. Every now and then, the History Channel or one of those will show a documentary on 9/11, and of course, we were in the midst of it here in the Washington area. I could see it from my office, the fourth floor of our building here. I could see the Pentagon burning and smoking. And then you look at 9/11 in New York, at the Twin Towers, and you see normal people running away from the building as they should have, and you see first responders, police and firefighters going into the building and bringing people out and going into the building again and again, and people who were off duty and on vacation showed up for work. And that's that doesn't happen in many trades or professions.
Exactly. You know, my wife is retiring from teaching in another week or so, and we see all the stories about the teachers in Oklahoma City. They're public servants. How they, I mean, literally got on top of their kids to shield them from flying glass and debris. It's absolutely amazing what public servants do every day, and we know they don't get rich doing it, and that's why FEA is here to help them when they need assistance.
Yeah, you saw that in Newtown.
We need them.
Yeah, you saw that in Newtown, Connecticut, when the teachers got on top of the kids and took a bullet for them and leading them to safety along with the police officer. So it's a good batch. It must be very rewarding for you.
It's a wonderful second career. I'm a retired Fed myself. My dad was a Fed after getting out of the service in World War II for his entire career. I really appreciate what federal employees do, and it's truly an honor and a privilege to be able to help them when they need help, because I know they help us every single day.
How did FEA sort of come about? Did some very smart people get in a room one day? How did that happen?
I'm not sure. I call us very smart, but I was president of the National Council of Social Security Management Associations at the time. Jerry Shaw had just started the Senior Executive Association, and Bob Tobias from National Treasury Employees Union, and Jim Pierce from NEFI, National Federation of Federal Employees, two unions, two management associations, got together and realized there was this void. There were similar organizations, Army Emergency Relief, Navy Marine Corps Relief Society, Air Force Aid, for people that wore uniforms. But if you didn't wear a uniform and maybe even work side by side with someone wearing a uniform, there was no place to turn for help when something happened. So it was formed in 1986 on a wing and a prayer. And here we are some 27 years later. Still true to the mission of providing emergency, financial, and educational assistance to civilian federal employees and their families whenever and wherever they need it.
So you started literally with nothing, and did you say you'd made $11 million in scholarships and $9 million in loans?
So far, and that total goes up every single day, Mike.
That's incredible. Now, I guess the bulk of your money comes from federal workers themselves through the Combined Federal Campaign? Rhetorical question?
Yeah, absolutely. We do not receive federal funds. You know, the federal government doesn't give us money. Federal employees do, who believe in the mission, through the Combined Federal Campaign, as well as online donations. We have our very faithful and wonderful corporate sponsors out there, Feds, GEICO, Blue Cross Blue Shield, long-term care partners, folks that support us with significant donations throughout the year, and it all adds up to some wonderful things that we can do every day.
Okay, coming down the road, you've got potentially 1 million federal workers who are going to be furloughed. When this started out, the sequestration, there was a lot of bluffing and threatening and whatnot. And as we can see, the Defense Department has backed off from its original statement that everybody was going to be furloughed for 22 days. They're now saying many people will be furloughed for 11. And Secretary Chuck Hagel has said if he can shave that number by any number of days, he will do it. They'll happily do it. FAA, Congress said, no, don't furlough the air traffic controllers after all. Same with the animal and plant inspectors at the Agriculture Department. So there have been some chipping away at this. But by and large, the furloughs are still very real, and they're still out there. Are you getting a lot of traffic, even though it's premature for most feds?
Oh, absolutely. Panic calls come in every day. What am I going to do? How can you help me? Those are probably a dozen or more every single day. We get email inquiries. We're talking to emergency assistance programs from the various agencies. They can counsel people, but they can't pay their rent. Facility managers who are saying, I don't know what my employees are going to do. I know them. I know them well. I know their situations. They're not going to be able to handle not getting 20% of their pay this week and 2 weeks from now and 2 weeks after that, they're going to just be in deep trouble. And we're trying to prep everybody, walk them through the process, assure them that we'll be there to help them. But with the volume we're anticipating, some contributions would be not only needed but necessary.
And they can do that
at
by
Vital.
FEA.org, FEEA.org, right?
Absolutely. Give now, and that'll take them right to the thing. I mean, I was so excited about our matching funds donation. While I have money coming out of my paycheck every 2 weeks for FEA, I went online and I made a donation because it feels good to give $100 and know that $400 is going to come to FEA.
I'm going to do it too. Steve, thank you for coming on the show. And I guess I'll see you in Orlando at the FDR conference coming up.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, Steve Bauer. We'll be right back here. We'll be talking with Stephen Losey from the Federal Times here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Every day, our men and women of blue set out to face the unknown and fulfill their oath to protect our nation's capital. The efforts in Boston are a reminder of this commitment and dedication. Join members of the community in support of the heroes of the Metropolitan Police Department at the D.C. Police Foundation's Law Enforcement Awards Ceremony on June 18th at Arena Stage. Police Chief Kathy Lanier and community leaders will honor six outstanding men and women for their brave efforts to keep our community safe, including Officer of the Year and Detective of the Year. It is incumbent upon us to take time and express our gratitude for those who risk their lives every day. On June 18th, support D.C.'s public safety heroes for reducing the city's homicide rate to an historic low. Buy a ticket or join major sponsors to support this worthy event at dcpolicefoundation.org. That's dcpolicefoundation.org.
This facial recognition and lack of privacy is going to be a problem on an ongoing basis. Now, coming up in the future, you're going to see face recognition technology on ATMs, which actually is a pretty good
idea. That's a great idea.
I love that idea. They're also going to have face recognition software on mobile devices. So the device is going to look at your face, and instead of you putting in a code to unlock it, if it doesn't see you, it's not going to unlock.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
Join WTOP for the Washington Animal Rescue League's Adopt-A-Thon, Saturday, June 1st and Sunday, June 2nd from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m.
More than 150 rescue dogs and cats that need forever homes will be available for adoption at discounted fees.
All dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens have been spayed or neutered, microchipped, and are ready to be part of your family.
Help us save lives, Saturday, June 1st, Sunday, June 2nd. Visit WARL.org for more information.
Hi, everybody. It's David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast, the D.C. area's one and only food and wine variety show. Tune in next Sunday and every Sunday at 11 right here on 1500 and 820 a.m. to hear the latest from the food and wine scene. We've got celebrity chefs, sommeliers, winemakers, and more all here to tell you about the inside skinny that you won't find anywhere else. That's Foodie and the Beast this Sunday at 11.
Dan Doherty, Vice President of EMC Federal.
You may not realize that the U.S. Postal Service is recognized as one of the most innovative users of information technology. And it's that innovative technology that keeps the mail moving. You can imagine how proud the EMC Federal team was when the Postal Service recognized us as one of the 2012 Postal Suppliers of the Year. Thank you to the U.S. Postal Service for recognizing our commitment, and to all of our federal customers for allowing EMC to serve your mission.
Why do leaders succeed or fail? How do leaders direct ambitious change? What strategies do leaders use to overcome opposition and win allies? Join host Michael Keegan and Professor Harry Lambright of the Maxwell School of Citizenship and Public Affairs at Syracuse University and author of the IBM Center Report, Forging Governmental Change, as they explore leaders and leadership next week on a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors. Tune in every Monday at 11 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500.
The Advanced Alliance Solutions Team, led by Technical and Management Resources, Inc., is a GSA Alliance small business contract holder. Here's President and CEO Linda Carr.
The Advanced Alliance Solutions team consists of 7 IT firms. Collectively, our core competencies cover all of the functional areas of the Alliant contract and supports agencies' enterprise IT requirements. For potential small business teaming opportunities, please contact us at advancedalliant.com.
To learn more, visit advancedalliant.com.
Kick off summer at the Safeway Barbecue Battle June 22nd and 23rd to benefit the Boys and Girls Clubs. 30 bands on 3 stages, including The Wailers and Roy Ayers on the Pepsi Next Lay soundstage, and Kristen and the Noise and EU on the famous Dave's music stage. Free food in Safeway's Sampling Pavilion, the National Pork Barbecue Championship, Ranchers Reserve Beef Contest, Purdue's Sizzlin' Chicken Contest, plus NBA Nation and lots more. Easy to get to by metro. Visit bbqdc.com.
Want the latest Department of Defense news? Listen every Wednesday for DoD Wednesday on Federal News Radio. Wednesday afternoons at 2, Federal News Radio DoD reporter Jared Serbu hosts On DoD, a discussion with senior managers about how the department meets its mission. Then stick around Wednesday afternoons at 3 when in-depth host Francis Rose brings you Pentagon Solutions, a deep dive into the issues and challenges of the defense community. All this plus our daily DoD updates at 40 past the hour, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
This is Mike Causey. Welcome back to Your Turn. Coming up is Stephen Losey. He's a senior writer with the Federal Times. And Steve, are you with us?
I'm here. How are you?
Before I forget, my producer, Lauren Larson, and I would like to invite ourselves out to your studio sometime and check out the layout of it.
Oh, that would be outstanding. Yeah.
Give us a chance to tie on the feed bag, too. So. All right. All on the line of duty. Steve, so much stuff going on. I'll be quiet. I'll leave the room and you can take over. The defense furloughs, they're really going to happen.
Yeah, the Pentagon came out with their long-awaited announcement. We all knew defense furloughs were going to come. That was inescapable. The big question was, how bad are they going to be? You know, when we first started talking about DoD furloughs, the initial word was, we're talking 800,000 people almost getting furloughed for 22 days. Then it got whittled down a little bit further to 14 days. But then Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel came out to the Mark Center in Alexandria last week, and he said that the final tally is going to be 11 days of furloughs for about 680,000 DoD civilian employees. Now, those are going to begin the week of July 8th. So that's what it's most likely going to be. Now, Hagel said that he would like to try to whittle it down even further if he's able to. He promised he would, but that's far from a certain thing. So I think most of those 680,000 civilian DoD employees should get ready for 11 days of furloughs.
And starting this week, we have the IRS and some other agencies are going to be furloughing people on Friday to give them a extra long Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, that's something that's interesting about this whole furlough story is there's really no set way that agencies are planning to conduct their furloughs. They're really there's no one size fits all. You know, we looked at the plans in several DoD components, and they vary widely. The Defense Logistics Agency, for example, they've got 26,000 employees. They're going to try to stagger those furloughs Monday through Friday to make sure there's always someone in the office to make sure they can support the customers they serve, even with reduced staffing. However, you've got the Anniston Army Depot in Alabama, which is responsible for maintaining tanks and artillery. They're going to shut down entirely every Friday. So, you know, they'll be operating on a 4-day work week. So it's really up to the individual agencies or commands to figure out how best to deal with this rough situation.
Well, that's right. And the IRS, too, is going to shut down except for super, super essential people who need to keep certain things running. But they're going to shut down on Fridays, mm-hmm. correct?
Right, right.
Yeah. And, you know, you can argue this both ways. But some people say that it should be uniform, that everything should be handled the same way. But the Anniston Army Depot in Alabama, I have been there, by the way, is very different from the Defense Logistics Agency. It's almost a factory kind of thing. And I heard on the radio coming in this morning that Ford and Chrysler and the other big auto manufacturers, normally they take a two-week break. They just say, everybody out. They shut down for a couple of weeks in the summer and, you know, retool and retrench and whatnot. But the things are going so well that they're going to remain open at least for one of those weeks. But you treat an industrial operation differently than you would a more administrative operation.
That's right. And, I mean, you know, in the case of an industrial operation, if you try to do the same amount of work with a reduced staff, sometimes there could be you could place your employees in danger.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want God knows the last thing anybody wants is someone to get hurt because there weren't enough employees due to the furloughs. So I think in some cases they may managers and senior officials may have decided it's just easier to shut everything down that day. Of course, you know, nothing's free in this world. If you shut down entirely, there's going to be consequences. You know, my colleague Sean Riley, he spoke to some officials and at Army depots, and they're fearing that half the work at depots is going to be deferred, and in some cases, some work could be deferred for up to 3 years. So this is going to be the aftershocks of this are going to be felt around the DOD for a long time.
Yeah, I don't think anybody, the White House, which devised this plan, and the Congress, which sort of happily let it happen, I don't think anybody, A, thought it would happen. Each side thought the other would blink. And then when it did, I don't think people realized the ramifications of this. And we had, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, but in the beginning, we had playing chicken. The Agriculture Department said, okay, no meat and poultry inspection. You're on your own. And the FAA said, all right, no air traffic controllers. We'll shut down over the weekends when members of Congress are flying back home or on some junket. We'll let it pile up at the airports. And those two things worked. The Congress and the administration blinked. But I think we're past that stage, don't you?
As far as the blinking?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think, it's entirely possible there could be more, but I think most lawmakers have kind of resigned themselves to, well, this bad stuff is going to happen. We just got to kind of suck it up. And I think one thing that's been interesting in the last couple of weeks, you know, for months, agencies were very reluctant to talk about the actual real-world effects of the sequester and furloughs. But now we're getting a lot more information. The secretaries of Agriculture and Interior had a conference call last week. You know, wildfire season out west is coming. Excuse me. It's coming. And Tom Vilsack, the Agriculture Secretary, he said the sequester is going to cost about 500 firefighters and 50 fire engines this year as they gear up for what is most likely going to be a very, very rough wildfire season as it has been in recent years. So that's going to make things even more dangerous with fewer firefighters and engines on the line. And they're having trouble treating as many acres that is thinning out the brush and the debris that could worsen wildfires because of the sequester. I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say they've had a bad string of weather out there. Droughts not as bad as the Dust Bowl time, but some very bad droughts, no end in sight. And if you got fewer people, that's going to put not just trees and homes in harm's way, but some of the firefighters too.
That's right, that's right. And then there's the FBI. You know, the Robert Mueller, the director of the FBI, went up to Capitol Hill last week. They're not expecting to furlough people next year, but he said, yeah, we're probably going to have to furlough people this year. Excuse me, I'm sorry. They're not furloughing people this year, but he said we're going to have to furlough people next year. That's good. And there's a hiring freeze that's going to leave it with, you know, more than 1,000 vacancies by the end of next year. And it's going to have a chilling effect on morale, these furloughs, he said. And we're already seeing some impacts from the budget cuts. They are having to disband a gang intelligence center. and it's going to make it tougher for the Critical Incident Response Group. This is a crisis negotiation and hostage rescue division within the FBI. These people were involved in the capturing of the Boston bomber. And do you remember that little boy who was kidnapped from a school bus and held in an underground bunker?
Yes.
They were involved in that as well. It's going to make it tougher for them to train and respond. So there are going to be real-world effects from these furloughs, from these budget cuts.
And when the director says furloughs next year, is he talking about October 1, the fiscal year?
Maybe not October 1, but yes, the fiscal year,
okay,
2014, beginning October 1.
Well, you know, off the subject a little bit, but you mentioned rescuing that little boy. What they did in Boston following the bombing at the Marathon, to me, is just short of miraculous. They had all those images, which everybody said would be a big help. Well, they were a big help, but they had all those images. I mean, they had to eyeball literally millions of pieces of film, identify those two guys, and then send people out to the airports and the train stations that day and the next day and ask participants in the Boston Marathon, did you see this man? Do you remember where this person was standing? And they had him within a week, and I just think that's phenomenal.
Yeah, it is kind of amazing what can be done with some of the technology these days.
Yeah. Well, what else? How about the backlog? We're running out of time here. How about the
pension processing backlog?
Yeah.
Yeah. The pension processing backlog has been improving. As your listeners know, OPM has been struggling for decades to process federal retirees' pensions in a timely manner. This means that for a long time, this has meant that a lot of retirees have had to wait months, sometimes some people more than a year, to get their full pension. It's left them in dire straits financially. OPM has buckled down and really tried to get at this problem, and they've had a great deal of success. They've cut the backlog considerably, however, there's a wrinkle. Because of the sequester, OPM is not planning on furloughing employees, but they are planning to cut out overtime for pension processing. And it's anyone's guess whether how bad this is going to affect the pension processing. It means that they are probably not going to meet the aggressive goals OPM has set. So that's another example of real-world effects on the government's operations that are being caused by the sequester and the related budget cuts.
Right, and then they're just hit with not only a wave of retirements, as if the tsunami maybe is starting or may be here, and the fact that so many agencies like the Postal Service were offering either buyouts or early retirements.
That's right. The OPM they saw a very steep bump in the first couple of months of calendar 2013, largely due to the Postal Service's early outs and buyouts, and that really kind of threw them for a loop. Now, because they had so much more staff and so much more overtime they could throw at it, they more or less weathered it. However, when that overtime goes away, all bets are off.
What about the phased retirements? I'm getting a lot of queries from people who want to know when that OPM is going to get that rolling.
I'd like to know that, too. I've asked them when we're waiting on some final regulations from OPM governing this.
Mm-hmm.
I asked OPM when that's going to come out. They haven't been able to give me an answer as to when. So I'm hoping soon.
When was that signed into law?
It was signed into law last summer, I believe. So
it's been about a year.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Pending the regulations. Well, the devil's always in the details in these things, but that's
true.
They've had other things going on. Anything you're working on quickly?
I went to the TSP meeting on Monday.
Yes.
And they big news as far as the life cycle funds, the L funds. This is something they put into place in the 2000s. The L funds are kind of mixtures of all the stock, the bond, the government securities funds, and they're tailored towards when you're expected to retire. And they adjust them based on how much risk you're willing to you should take on. You know, if you're a younger employee, you take on a little bit more risk than someone who's getting ready to retire next year.
Right, and they get more conservative all the time,
exactly,
don't they?
And those L funds are going through the roof. They're hitting record numbers of enrollment.
Yeah, all right, they do sound good. Thank you, Steve Losey. Thank you, Lauren Larson. We'll see you all here next Wednesday. Remember, our shows are archived, so you can listen anytime. See you next Wednesday. Have a good week.